We want to resume this afternoon with our study in John chapter 8. I'd like to pick back up at verse 28. That's where we left this morning. We looked at the first part of that verse where Jesus said unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." So we've talked about the lifting up of the Son of Man, and we talked a little bit about the fact that not every individual that Jesus was speaking to would actually believe that Jesus is He, that He was the one to come. At least they didn't believe that in this life. Jesus said to many of these that He was speaking to that they would die in their sins. And for if they did not believe that He was He that should come, that He was the one that He is, maybe it's a better way to phrase that, then they would die in their sins. I think He said that back in the 24th verse. So we've talked a little bit about that. And then to begin our comments here this afternoon, Jesus goes on to say in that 28th verse, "And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." So Jesus says, "I do nothing of myself." And we talked a little bit about this morning, and I won't talk much about it here now, because we have discussed this, or we've talked about this before in earlier chapters, John chapter 5 in specific. Whatever Jesus did, He didn't do because He devised it all by Himself. Jesus didn't go out and make His own plans and then follow through with those particular plans. Everything that He did, everything that He taught, it was something that He and the Father, and I might add the Holy Spirit, all were in unison about together. They devised the doctrine, if you will, or they designed the things that should be taught unto the people by Jesus. So what Jesus taught and what Jesus did, all those things, and I might even add, what He thought. It was not of Himself alone. It was all God. Okay, the Father was in this as much as the Son. He did not do anything on His own. Which that brings something to mind here, maybe related to what we'll say here a little bit later. He goes on to say in that 28th verse, "But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." So again, what He taught is what the Father had given Him. It was not His doctrine, but His that sent Him. It was the Father's doctrine. As I was meditating upon this yesterday, I remember the verse there in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 11, where Peter says, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." Of course, there's more to that text there. And he's speaking, when he makes that statement, specifically to, I think, the ministry. If you stand before the Lord's people, speak as of the oracles of God. And that's very important. I was visiting with somebody recently that told me they had been to a service, and I almost called the name of the particular group of people, so I won't do that. But nevertheless, as they were sitting there, and through that service, they realized that the guy, when he spoke, he quoted various Buddhists and various other guys out there in the world, or different religious teachers and what have you. But he really didn't speak about what the scriptures taught. Okay, he was standing there in a so-called Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wasn't actually speaking according to the scriptures. He was citing various writings from different groups of people, different not Christian denominations, but different religions out there in the world. Peter, he would address that. He says, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." What we teach in the pulpit ought to be what God has taught in the Scriptures. It is what we are to teach. It is, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is what we are to teach. It is what we are to preach. It is what we are to believe. It's what we are to govern our lives by, which we'll have something more to say here in just a moment. And so in thinking about the fact that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, I push the envelope a little bit further and you know, that principle and made application of that to all of us. Not just, you know, to the ministry, you know, at large, but to anyone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an application of that principle to each of us. You know, one of the things that the Jews had that the Gentiles didn't have for centuries and centuries was the oracles of God. And Paul, he makes mention of that in the Roman letter in chapter 3, I believe it is, when he asks the question, what advantage then hath the Jew? And he would answer that question by saying, much in every way, in that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the very Word of God committed to them. No other nation of people in all the world had the Word of God, the true and living God. Now, there was all kinds of gods out there that were worshipped, but there was only one, and there is only one true and living God, and His Word had been committed unto that people. And you know what? Though they had the advantage of having the oracles of God committed to them, do you know how much it profited them? You know why it didn't profit them the way it ought to have had? It's because they didn't read, study, and make faithful application of it to themselves. In fact, it brings to mind how that many times, when we do read the Scripture or we hear a sermon preached, we don't make application of what we read or hear to ourselves. We're making application of that particular principle to somebody else. Boy, Brother So-and-so really needs to hear that. Right? Isn't that what we do? We never think that we're guilty. We read that like, oh yeah, Brother Dan really needs a dose of this.
Amen.
Instead of saying, Brother Shannon, boy, this has got you written all over it. This sinner he's talking about is you. You're the man. But we're much like the Jews, you know. We're pointing the finger at everybody else and never at ourselves. You know what I mean? You know, we have a great advantage, a much greater advantage, in my opinion, than the Jews did. Unto them were committed the oracles of God. But they had the gospel in a mystery. We got it revealed. Do you understand? We have it revealed. We have it manifest. We have the mystery revealed to us in the gospel. In the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God has come. Do y'all know that? We're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom today. We have the mystery revealed to us. It's no longer a mystery. He's revealed it to us. Okay? Do you see the advantage we have? Do you see the privilege we have? Not only do we have committed to us what the Jews had, we have what the Jews had manifested, revealed, opened up to us, explained. They were living in the shadow of the cross. We're on the sunny side of the cross. We see what it's all about. Do you understand what I'm saying? You and I have a great advantage in having the gospel and having the Word of God today. Now I'm going to speak specifically. See, that's like that last name I was talking about earlier. You know, I can't. This is hard for me to say that word too. I want to speak specifically to my children for a moment. Now, certainly this applies to everybody, but I have really been burdened about this for some time. Each one of you have the Word of God committed to you. The question is, What will you do with it? You have a great advantage that many people in this world, even today, don't have. What will you do with it? You know, the Bible that we have in our possession is not designed to occupy space on a nightstand or on a bookshelf or on the coffee table. It was designed to be worn out, to have the pages frayed from much turning, perusing, stained from the oil in our hands as we turn each page. Our Bibles, you're listening, Jeremiah? Our Bibles should be so used that not one page sticks to another. You know, that's what new Bibles do, don't they? You buy a brand new Bible and the pages stick together and you have to go there and you have to turn the pages to separate them apart from each other. A Bible that's used, the pages don't stick together. Pages are kind of crinkled, the corners are turned down and what have you, you know, not necessarily by design, but they just get that way because you use it a lot. My friends, my children, wear out your Bibles. And as you peruse the pages, as you think about the things that you read, then speak according to them and act according to them. Jesus, He taught as of the oracles of God. He taught what He had learned of the Father. Do you see that? We have this great treasure committed to us. It's an exceeding great treasure. It's a great privilege. But let me also warn each of us that with privilege comes responsibility. Again, God didn't give us His Word today just to occupy space on a nightstand. He gave it to us to read, to study, to learn more about Him and learn more on how we ought to live our lives. Did you know that the Scriptures, they give us everything we need to live our lives in this world? Read your Bibles. I challenge you, each one of you today, to read your Bible through this upcoming year. And we are coming up on a new year and we have all these resolutions perhaps planned. Let this be one of them. That you are resolved to read the Bible through in this upcoming year. And I challenge you further to not let it not be just your resolve for this coming year, but for the rest of your lives. Let it be a common day occurrence in your life that you read your Bibles. And then as you read your Bibles, as you think about the things that you read, let's talk about what we read. Let's ask the question, what are we to understand when he says there in Proverbs 27, 4 and 5, you know, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. I've enjoyed talking with Brother Colin about those two verses. We were just talking about them again earlier today. Let us talk about the things that we read. Let us speak of as of the oracles of God. We read there in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Those individuals who think on the Lord, who read His Word and meditate upon what they've read. Think about Christ. Are blessed. The Lord takes note. He sort of remembers. And move on down to verse 29. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Now, I've told you this before. I love this verse. I love this. I mean, this whole verse, but especially that part where He says, "For I do always those things that please Him." Do you know? I know you know. I'm not this guy. And the fact of the matter is, neither are you. I got to thinking this morning about this again, and I thought, you know, I'm already disqualified from being characterized by this text from the standpoint that from before this day, I have not done those things that please the Father. Now, we might could say, maybe generally speaking, but even in the generalization, everything that I've done has been tainted by sin. Isn't that true? Isn't that right? And if I purpose today, from this day forward, I am determined and resolved, I will do always those things that please Him, I still got yesterday. And whatever I do, even if I cross the T's and dot the I's, it's still tainted by sin. Because I have sin in me. However, that doesn't... What's the word? That does not mean that I don't try. You know, the attitude of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he says, in fact, let me turn over there. I love the way he says this. And I'm going to get in mid-sentence here, but you can go back and read it for yourself. I think it starts about verse 8. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Which I take to mean that He is striving, He is pressing forward to be what He will be in the resurrection. Do you know what we're going to be in the resurrection? You remember not too long ago we talked about how that we don't know what we shall be, but we know we'll, yeah. But we know this, that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll be like Him. Well, how is He? What is He like? Pure, holy, undefiled, righteous, shining like the noonday sun in brightness. Our righteousness will shine like the noonday sun. Paul said, if I by any means might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Then he says, get back to where he's saying that, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not perfect, he says. I haven't got there yet, but I'm going in that direction. I may not always do the things that please the Father, but I'm going in that direction. And you know what? The best thought of all about this is the fact that in another sense, you do always those things that please the Father as you are counted in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good thought? Yes, Shannon Whip, man, he's a big old loser when it comes to walking the straight and narrow. Try as hard as I might, I fail, I falter, I stumble. I'm worse than the guy that we read of in Scripture. You know, he stumbled 7 times. You know, he falls 7 times and riseth again. It's a multitudinous, you know, amount of times. Is that a word? But I'm perfect in Jesus Christ. Do you see how essential He is to us? Christ is the all-important one. He is our everything. Amen? He is everything. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Let me change gears just a little bit here. I want to think about a principle for just a moment. The Father and the Son here have constant fellowship. Do you see that? Read that again. And He that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone. Why? Jesus answers, for I do always those things that please Him. The Father and the Son have constant fellowship because the Son is always doing those things that please the Father. Do you see the principle? There's fellowship with God when our ways are pleasing to Him. Jesus' priority was the kingdom of God. What was it Jesus taught Himself? Remember? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God was the priority in Jesus' life here. Some people have the idea that the kingdom of God and just life in general are sort of separate from one another. But the kingdom of God affects every aspect of our lives. It affects us in our work. It has application there. It has application in our home lives. It has application to me as a father and a husband. To you as a wife and a mother. It has application to you as a child. As a student. It permeates every aspect of our lives. It's not divorced from anything in our lives. Whatever it is you do, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It should be the center of everything you do in life. It's not divorced from anything in our lives. It affects everything. It has application to everything. And Jesus, His priority was the kingdom of God. And because His priority is the kingdom of God, the Father never left Him alone. You know, we look at Jesus and we say, you know, it's impossible for us to have the same kind of experience that Jesus had. Let me say this, that Jesus lived in a world that was absolutely hated Him. And we talked about that this morning, how the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes and so forth, they hated Him without a cause. They had plotted and schemed and did everything they could and finally realized their end to kill Him. But you know, we read of some folks in Scripture who lived in worlds very similar to that. The very first person that I remember reading is Enoch. You remember what was written about Enoch? You know, there's not a whole lot written about Enoch. But Enoch lived about 365 years, if I remember correctly. And the one thing that we read about Enoch is that he walked with God. Do you remember that? He walked with God. Oh, by the way, he had children. And he still walks with God. Hello? He still walks with God, even with children. He lived in a world that Moses writes for us in Genesis chapter 6, I believe it is, that the thoughts of the hearts were only evil continually. It was a world that was plagued with unrighteousness. It was a dark world. And Enoch lived in those kind of times. And yet, in spite of all the wickedness around him, he walked with God. In fact, we have this further said about Enoch, that he had this testimony, Hebrews chapter 11, that his ways pleased God. How did he walk with God? Paul tells us, by faith. The very next person we read about that walked with God, where it says he walked with God, is Noah. Do you remember the times he lived in? That generation in which he lived? While he was building the ark, 120 years building the ark, and people are just, you know, they're laughing at him, they're scoffing at him, and there's all kinds of ungodliness and unrighteousness in his time, and guess what? He keeps driving nails. Well, I don't know if he had nails, but you know what I mean. He kept working. He kept plugging. He kept doing what God had commissioned him to do. He walked with God. And he was just and perfect in his generations, it is written. Those are two people there that are men of like passions like you and me. They both had children. They both lived in really evil generations. And yet, they walked with God. It's possible today, Brother Dan, to walk with God. We can do so by faith, putting all our confidence, all our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what Paul tells us in the Hebrew letter, chapter 12. After he lists all these various individuals who walked by faith in their lifetime, he tells us, lay aside the every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For consider him who endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest thou also be wearied. For ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. My friends, we may not be perfect, but inasmuch as we are in Jesus Christ, we are. Yet let us not give up on our efforts to follow Him, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For as Jesus said here in John chapter 8, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. May the Lord add his blessing.